We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Pregnant ladies and little kids better get the hell out of the way because I am running. I'm like Forrest Gump, dude. I am running. So the Titanic was the biggest ship on the ocean, but that didn't mean it was unsinkable.
Okay.
I want you each to use ombudsman in a sentence next week.
I got one for you. My name is Kevin, the official ombudsman of the Just Press Play podcast. You like apples?
Welcome back into another edition of the Just Press Play podcast. Kevin here, joined with LJ.
What's up?
Uncle Tony. Pops is out. Who knows what Pops is doing?
Having way
he's
too
not
much
here
fun,
with
probably.
Us. What's going on, guys?
What up?
Pops is gallivanting around.
Gallivanting across the country.
He's,
there's no telling.
Well, he's trying to find some new bougie problems is what he's doing.
So he has some homework for next week when he gets back.
Exactly. He ran out.
I think he may be at either at some point going to or maybe currently in Colorado. And Colorado's not a, at least in the sports world, they've had a tough week.
Look.
Between Deion getting crushed by Oregon and then LJ, I mean.
I'd rather see the Nuggets out there playing against the Dolphins if I had to pick.
So let's start there. 70 points in a game is just like, it looked like a typo. It doesn't look right.
You want me to tell you what the most embarrassing part about that is?
70 points against the Broncos, just in case
anyone doesn't know, my team got LJ's beat by 50 points, and at least 14 of those were just like, I don't know, who cares what the Broncos are doing? So the most embarrassing part of this is that they did not kick that field goal at the end of the game. And as I understand, it was because they didn't want to embarrass anybody. But like when your backup quarterback is throwing a 68-yard bomb to a practice squad wide receiver, embarrassment's already out the window. Get the record. You guys deserve it. Like, it's so embarrassing to say we didn't want to embarrass you by more than 50 points. That's absurd.
Yeah, so we'll rattle off a little bit of stats about the game, but something I found interesting, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but as we all know, and we've discussed on this pod, Sean Payton had some rather choice words about Nathaniel Hackett and his job coaching the Broncos last year, which I think even Nathaniel Hackett will tell you wasn't the best year for him. You know, I don't think he's like going out there saying it's other people's fault. I hadn't heard any of that, but Sean Payton had some choice words and just kind of felt like a breaking a little bit of the coach's code. Like, why are you even talking about Hackett? Like, it's a new year, new team.
Yeah.
But Nathaniel Hackett is a part of this group called, they call themselves the Quarterback Collective. And it's all people from a similar coaching tree. And it includes Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Mike McDaniel, LaFleur, and Hackett. So I Big wouldn't names. Be, and this group meets up every year. They discuss innovative offenses. You know, they're good friends. I would not be surprised if, I know McDaniel didn't kick the field goal. He wanted to score a lot of points on the Broncos.
Right, because his buddy. Sean Payton. You're saying his buddy's in his group.
Yeah, he's kind of going,
yeah.
Look, we know Hackett sucks. Like, Hackett tells us how bad he sucks over drinks, but you don't need to say it.
Right.
So I bet McDaniel came in there going, it would be cool to hang 50. I don't think he realized he would score 70 points. That's insane. I think that accounts for a touchdown every 6 minutes of the game.
Well, that sounds about right. Yeah,
I calculate.
And then, you know, it was embarrassing to. There was like the Broncos couldn't stop the practice squad of the Miami Dolphins. Like, it's insane how badly they just like you could tell the Dolphins were actually trying to not score about halfway through the third quarter, and it just didn't matter.
And then it was like, oh, there's A-Chain again for a 70-yard touchdown.
Yeah, A-Chain. Like, what are you going to tell A-Chain to slow down? Like, you can. Like, it's insane.
So it's only the fourth time in history that a team has scored 70 points in an NFL game. Most recently, the Washington football team did it in 1966. But maybe the best 70-plus point game, and a shout-out to Ben Solak for The Ringer for pointing this out, but I went and looked at the Wikipedia page. The Bears played Washington in the 1940 NFL championship game, where the Bears beat them 73-0. The Wikipedia entry for this game says that apparently the Washington team owner called the Bears crybabies and quitters after beating them 7-3 in the regular season. The Bears, who ran the T formation offense, not the wing T, just the T, had 8 interceptions, 3 of which were returned for touchdowns, one of them by a man named Bulldog Turner. And this was the first game broadcast on nationwide radio and the last game in which an NFL player played without a helmet on. That's just...
Wow, what a crossover of things. That's insane.
That's funny.
So, Tony, 70 points, they're not going to score 70 points every game, but what was this? The Broncos are just a train wreck. The Dolphins are really that good. I think in our group text, you said Dolphins definitely now in that top tier of NFL teams. Maybe the top? What'd you think about this game?
Yeah. It was just a I'm trying to name it. There's a book out there that I think it's just a the misfortunes of somebody. Anyway, everything that could happen bad did happen bad. And I think it lined. This is what happened. The Broncos were terrible and the Dolphins were clicking. And I think we said it on the pod last week, Miami going down there or Denver going down there to play in that sea level air. They were going to be slow. And by God, they were. It was just, you know, they couldn't handle all that oxygen. And I think it just freaked them out. But no, it was just the Broncos are better than that. And the Dolphins are not as good at that as that. And so same thing we said about the Cowboys beating the Giants 40-0. There's just neither one of those teams are that bad or that good. But I think we know what direction they're going.
I mean, yes, they're not going to score 70, but that Dolphins off if the way they're playing right now, and I feel like we do this every year where through 4 weeks or something, it's the best offense, you know, on pace to break all these records, or the team we think is the best in the NFL after week 3 or 4, something changes, injuries, whatever. But the way they run motion, the way they're just – LJ, it almost feels like Al Davis has to be rolling over his grave because they're just – extremely fast, and McDaniels gets them all over the place, and Tua looks really accurate, and it looks like him and McDaniel are just in sync in that offense.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't read anything into this game outside of the Broncos are not good and the Dolphins are good. Like, any sort of, like, amount of that is probably not worth your time to think about too much. But, yeah, I mean, the speed and the connection on these team is wild without Waddle. I mean, it's
– Yeah, have we said that? They didn't have Jalen Waddle for this game. They scored 70 points. Jalen Waddle's incredible.
Yeah, as soon as he's back. I mean, that is an offense to be reckoned with. I'm looking forward to see how they do. They got the Bills
this week, and it's a great – I think it might be Sunday night, and that's going to be a great one because I'd love for the Bills to maybe get up in the third quarter so we can kind of see because we haven't seen the Dolphins really play from behind yet at all this year.
Yeah, and we weren't going to get that against Vance Joseph. So, don't think too hard about that game, except for go ahead and mock every Broncos fan that you know. They deserve it. It's a terrible team. And everybody that was hyped like me at the beginning of the year thinking Sean Payton might turn them around, fix Russ, which, by the way, Russ doesn't look terrible. But that's neither here nor there. The team is awful. So it's just bad.
Both Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane scored 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Shockingly, that's happened 8 times in the NFL. The last time it happened was 2004. Tony, you got any guess what team did it?
2004?
Mm-hmm. Had 2 players score 4 touchdowns each?
2 running backs score 4 touchdowns or more.
49ers.
Nope. LJ, you got a guess? You'll know this team. Both of you will. Like, you'll remember the team.
No, I don't even have a guess.
It was the Chiefs with Priest Holmes and Derek Blaylock.
Yeah.
I don't remember Derek Blaylock, but Priest Holmes.
Priest Holmes, yeah, I don't remember Blaylock.
That might have been the year that Priest Holmes broke the touchdown record. Remember, I think Blaylock he did one year.
Bit, but. Kevin, I do need to correct you on something.
Uh-oh.
So after 4 touchdowns on Sunday, the name is pronounced Devon Achane. Let's be clear about it now, because when you score four touchdowns, you get to tell people how to pronounce your name.
Which is funny because the Dolphins like program, they send out the program to announcers, and in the like I saw other announcers putting this out. They said they specifically say it's A, like A, and then chain. Like, so they were telling, no, this is how you pronounce it. And then he comes out, he's like, all right, so now that I'm on the map a little, can we do my name how it is? Devon Achan. But it just throws me. A Chain's a cool name.
I don't know. Devon Achan has a good rhythm to it.
Sounds violent. Well,
you keep scoring four touchdowns every week, then you can. I'll call you.
He can change his name every week, as far as I'm concerned.
I'll call him Petunia if he wants me to.
Let's stick in the AFC West a little bit. I guess this isn't totally AFC West, but we thought that the Chargers and Vikings would be a weird game, and somehow it was even weirder than I thought. And a stop by the LA Chargers defense, or maybe just a little bit of a miscommunication of time at the end, might have saved Staley's job, right, Tony? I mean, that going for that fourth down was mind-boggling.
That's one of the stupidest things I've ever seen. And, you know,
they should have lost because of that.
They should have lost. They should have lost. And I guess to me, the Minnesota is just paying for all the good karma they had last year and all those wins they had in close games. But it doesn't make any sense to go for it there at that point in time on your inside your 30. I just was ridiculous.
I do think, LJ, I don't know about you, if they end up losing that game, if Kirk Cousins does drive down there and get a touchdown, I'm not saying Staley's fired this week, but there's rumblings, I think.
I mean, I think there'd be rumblings, but I think that would be, I don't know. Sometimes you know your guy can make it, and he was just dead wrong. I don't know. I didn't love the call, but like a lot of these fourth and short calls, it's hard to call without being in that practice facility, you know?
Yeah. Justin Herbert, I mean, was absolutely phenomenal the game. He went 40 for 47 with 405 yards and three touchdowns. No quarterback has ever completed 85% of their passes on 45 plus attempts. I mean, Herbert's playing MVP level, and the only thing stopping him is Staley's decision.
Is the rest of the play calling?
I'd say it's probably Kellen Moore. So it's keeping him.
Well, I know how you feel about Kellen Moore.
He looks really good until it counts.
Yeah,
that's Kellen Moore. What do you think happened at the end there,
Kirk Cousins? So they were driving and they get a first and goal with about 30-ish seconds left. And it felt like they should just kill the clock with the spike and figure out. And they waste a good 25 seconds of the clock. I mean, that just felt like, I don't know. It's probably a little bit of coaching and Kirk Cousins. I don't know who you put the blame on there, Tony.
I don't want to say coaching, just like I don't want to talk about the Razorbacks tonight. I don't want to do it. But you can't get down there and not have those timeouts and that time period and not use them. And I don't know. That just – they seem to be – for any other team this year that I've watched, the Minnesota Vikings seem to be so out of sync. I mean, Denver's in sync. They're just in sync really bad. But Minnesota, they're just looking around like, huh? What? Huh? They just don't get it. They just like they're trying to figure out. Now, I don't know if like Dalvin Cook had a bag of magic beans that he would hand out every every game and so to keep them out. And now that Dalvin's gone, the beans are gone. I don't know. But they look way out of sync. And as you said to start, Kevin, that was one of the weirdest games and the weirdest last 5 minutes of a game that I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, just it didn't make a whole lot of sense. And then rounding out, speaking of things that don't make sense, what was Josh McDaniels doing in that Raiders game on Sunday night? Like he lines up to kick the field goal when they're down. I believe they're down 8 with like less than 2 minutes left, and he lines up to kick a field goal. Then gets bailed out with a kind of phantom. I forget it's a leverage call, but like even they showed the replay, and the rule is you can't use the like center's back to push yourself up. And the guy did put his arm on the center, but it didn't feel like he really got that. But whatever, they call it. And then so McDaniel kind of gets an automatic first down. Then he goes 1, 2, 3 plays and then kicks another field goal inside like the 15-yard line when you're down. Like, it was just stupid.
Yeah, to just be that dedicated to it was wild for sure.
That just McDaniel's just is not an NFL head coach, I don't think. Agreed. Tony, I think you've been saying that for a while.
A long time, but he won't be a he won't be one next year, so that's fine. Just that was just terrible. I'm always for the field goal. I'm always for the field goal, except when it's less than 2 minutes and you're down eight. You know, now if you're down nine, that makes sense. Yeah, and maybe somebody forgot to tell him that he was down just eight, and we had 2-point conversions in the league now. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think counting would be easy for him after counting all those touchdowns in New England, but like, yeah, he clearly doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah.
I just don't. And then he squandered an amazing game by Davante Adams. It felt like every time I looked up, Davante Adams was making another 30-yard catch. He's still really good at football, by the way. Just if anybody forgot, he's still really, really good.
I think even including recent history, Josh McDaniels is the worst Broncos coach ever. That's just my opinion.
And that's even after someone just got beat by 50.
Yeah, I think, and I'm comfortable saying that could happen for the rest of the year, and I'd still think I'd probably feel that way.
Yeah. Hey, do you guys think, and I know you said AFC West, is there a worse division in football?
AFC West? Outside of one
there's
team,
the Chiefs,
yeah.
And then,
yeah.
Yeah. And even the Chiefs aren't really firing.
Maybe the AFC South's pretty bad.
Dude, they're winning.
Yeah, against each other.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
Still,
you make
bad.
A good point. I mean, that
is a bad division right now, for sure.
Yeah.
I think the Chargers could turn it around because that is such a talented team. I think the Raiders could turn it around. Yeah. They just have a bad coach. I think the Broncos are probably in rebuild starting now. After last week, you have to just go ahead and start that. But so there could be two other good teams in that division. But right now, it is literally just Mahomes and Kelsey and then like another 212 guys in that division.
Well, speaking of Mahomes and Kelsey, I do want to get to. So after week one,
oh God,
the Chiefs and Bills both lost, and we're kind of going, and we were doing a little overreaction bit here, but we were kind of talking like, oh, are the Bills in trouble? Mm-hmm. Josh Allen didn't look good. He lost to an Aaron Rodgers-less Jets, and then the Chiefs losing to the Lions. Well, since week one losses, the AFC's cream of the crop have now been 2-0, with three of which they both haven't lost, three of which of their four collective wins have been by at least four touchdowns. So, like, they're not just winning. The Bears got just demolished, and then the Washington Commanders got just crushed by the Bills. Tony, who do you want to talk about first as far as those two teams and who's maybe better?
Let's talk the Bills.
Let's talk Bills. What that defense looks like it's pretty solid and –
That's where I say they have made a better improvement defensively over the last 2 weeks than I think they have offensively. And so, you know, you're not seeing now Josh Allen has looked a lot better and has a little more poise. And I guess he's like Joe Burrow, you know, week one, just scratch it off, you know, just forget about it because he's much better. But their defense, I think, has really improved. And
James Cook's kind of been running decent. And that's what we've said the last 2 years, if they can just get a running game.
And he is. And I think Latavius Murray is exactly what they need. He gets those – when you need 2 yards, Latin Murray will get you 2 yards. Just don't ask him to do it more than 4 or 5 times because he'll break down. But, I think that's I think that's valid. James Cook is running hard.
LJ, what do you think? If you had to choose who's better right now, Bills or Chiefs, who do you got?
I mean, I feel like the Bills beat a slightly better team, but otherwise, I mean, I need to see more information, but I kind of like the Chiefs, a little bit. I mean, I like the Bills more, but I kind of feel more comfortable with the Chiefs. So I'd probably say the Chiefs, but not enough information.
It does feel the Chiefs defense, while they're not like making all the flashy interceptions and stuff like the Bills did this past week, the Chiefs defense has been pretty stout all year. I mean, they held it. I like to think that Lions team is a solid offense, and they didn't really do anything crazy against the Chiefs. And then the Jaguars, they do have a lot of troubles right now, but we like to think they're a decent offense.
I feel like the Chiefs have, over the past few years, been pretty solid at having like great tacklers, not giving up a lot on defense, not necessarily being turnover kings because they score enough on offense. They don't.
Well,
because
they
it.
Know we just got to hold you under, 24.
Yeah, just
points
they can have that bend, don't break, and let you go ahead and get, a few shots at the end zone. But like, you're not going to get everything you want because we're not going straight for interceptions all the time or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, and they know. they don't win the game on their defensive end. That, you know, right. they can lose it with their defense, but they can't really win right. it. When you, and you don't need to when you got 15 and 87. Mm-hmm. I guess while we talk about the Chiefs, we got to touch on.
Do we?
Well, Conspiracy Kevin might enter the chat.
Oh, okay. Point, now I'm really interested, actually. Go on.
Tony, what do you think about Kelce and Swift? What's your thoughts?
I think it's a perfect pairing. I'm all for it.
I mean, I think they're cute as hell. I don't think we need to talk about them. I don't care. Doesn't matter.
I think Taylor Swift likes Donna Kelce more than she likes Travis.
Wow,
Kelce.
She does seem like a trip. Yeah, I think that'd be fun. Yeah.
Who doesn't want to hang out with Mama?
Yeah,
Kelce?
Up in the booth. And I think that's hell what's the deal.
Well, and I kind of think someone needs to teach Taylor a little. She's got the world mastered. She's great at everything. I don't want the Taylor Swift fans to come
yeah,
after
yeah,
here,
chill, guys.
Learn a little press box etiquette. I mean, it was the third quarter. It was like 38 to 7. And she's like screaming up and down when Kelce catches a touchdown, going LF, like, you know, cussing. And Donna Kelce, like a professional she is like, baby, we've had this game once since the end of the first yeah. quarter. Let's contain
this. This is like one
bit,
of his high
know?
School games. It's not a big deal.
Okay, so you just hit it there, LJ. That's what I think has happened. So Taylor Swift really didn't have
sure.
high school,
interesting
right?
point.
So she didn't go to Friday night uh-huh. and cheer on her boyfriend, the quarterback, because yeah. let's be honest, her boyfriend would have been the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And so this is her deal, right? This is where she gets
but
to
I
do
believe
that.
He was team captain and she was on the cheer team. So, you know, like
there you go. There'll be a song about it. Don't worry.
Yeah, she's at the pep rally right now. That's fair.
Yeah, so I'm going to stick the Conspiracy Kevin hat on for a second.
Let's go. It's made a foil.
I think the video we saw of them walking out of the stadium together was the first time they've ever met in person.
Oh, why do you think that?
I don't think that there could end up being a thing between these two. They could end up being a great relationship forever. I think there's if Taylor Swift's not, besides just being ultra talented, she knows the PR game and the way to kind of stay ultra relevant at all times better than anyone. She happens to have a movie coming out that's her concert of this Eras tour that's going to be out in the theaters.
Yep.
The Kelces also have a documentary they just dropped, both Travis and Jason Kelce, with Donna, I'm sure, involved. Apparently, it's a really good documentary.
Along with like a podcast that they're always trying to get more listeners for.
With a podcast that's getting bigger and bigger. It just kind of feels like there's a chance this is kind of just a, hey, if we just do this for like act like this is a thing.
I would actually, both of us, to lend credence to what you're saying, I couldn't think of a pairing for Taylor Swift that would get more good publicity than one of the biggest football players in this era. Like it totally makes sense to get that crossover of like, because I know I've had like a half dozen conversations of, hey, do you know who Travis Kelce is? And so like it's combining worlds and everybody's like, it's worth talking about, you know, if you know I like football and you like Taylor Swift, like we can have that conversation. So like it's brilliant if that's the case.
And Travis Kelce is, as far as just like Q rate, like your rating goes, is just people like you. Like there's not a whole lot of people that mm-hmm. have anything bad to say about Kelce other than like they get annoyed because he's good.
Yeah, he's charming, talented, and attractive. So fuck him. But like, yeah.
So
I think
like
the Cincinnati mayor doesn't like him.
Well, that's probably true.
But he's a jabroni.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I this could turn in. I just feel like this was kind of a Travis Kelce said something a little flippant, like where he was like, oh, yeah, I gave her a wristband with my number on. I think he was kind of joking. And then he threw out that what if she came to the game in Arrowhead? And I think her PR people are like,
hey, you better go.
Let's reach out. Let's see if we can just go in the press box. It'd be fun to go to. Like you're saying, she hasn't gone to games. Go to Arrowhead. Arrowhead's a fun stadium. Like,
oh, yeah, you couldn't pick a much better stadium for sure. I mean, as much as I hate them, that is an environment.
And then it led the freaking, like, not ESPN, like the nightly news was leading with Taylor Swift at Arrowhead the next night. Yeah. So, I mean, it was. All the Chiefs fans that I know,
Bill
in my life
Belichick
are like,
commented. I mean,
every Chief fan I know in my life is so frustrated.
Jerry Jones
commented. Like, why?
Well, Jerry Jones will comment anytime he thinks there's a headline possible. So,
yeah.
Well, I guess okay. That wraps up our Kelce.
Well, Kevin, I just want to say one last thing. Now, you can say all you want, but just remember, she's just a girl. standing in front of a boy asking him to love her. So don't knock it, man.
Oh my hey, God. I'm team love over here. You know, I hope they have a happily ever after life.
All the Notting Hill fans there just fell out. Yeah.
So. You mentioned Jerry Jones a second ago. Are the Cardinals kind of good or do the Cowboys suck, Tony?
If we're specifying Jerry Jones, is that like part of this? Or are we just saying the Cowboys in general?
Just Cowboys.
Okay, cool.
That was a general. No, I that was a trap game. It was an early trap game, but they've got the Patriots this week, and the Cardinals had been terrible. And the Cowboys typically have one of these, and they just blew it in the red zone, just flat blew it in the red zone multiple times. And I just, at this point, I would say it's a trap game, and I'm not prepared to say that, yeah, they suck. I just think it was, oops,
yeah, my bad. Well, for the defense, for sure, I think the defense kind of came in and were like, it didn't look like they spent a lot of time in the film room this week. Like, they kind of just like, oh, it's Arizona. It's Josh Dobbs has been there for what, 3 weeks? Like, we're the Cowboys defense. We'll come in and crush them. And they just look a little out schemed. Offensively, I do think this is something that's been a little hidden over the first 2 weeks because they've played Zach Wilson. And then, like we talked about that week one where it was a train wreck for the Giants, they have kind of, they move between the 20s. They do kind of get stagnant when they get inside the 20. Like their red zone offense, there's something just not clicking. And they settle for a lot of field goals against the Jets. And we talked about this a little last week. If the Jets could have made any sort of play, they were kind of hanging around that game way longer than they should have. So there is something. I don't think the Cowboys suck. I was kind of joking there. But that red zone offense is a prop. You're going to have to start getting sevens. You can't swap threes in the playoffs.
You know what's missing, right?
What's missing?
Zeke Elliott's missing.
Well, he's coming to town this weekend.
I know, and so here's the thing: how many touchdowns has Pollard scored
this year?
One
or two? One.
One, and how many have been within the 5 yards?
I think maybe the one, but I don't know.
Well, anyway, that what I'm saying is I don't think I've seen the power running game from Tony Pollard that I think they were expecting. Rico Dowdle had a great game this weekend, and I think he showed that he is the number two back, although Deuce has had a couple of good runs. But Rico was showing a little bit of pop, and I'm a little concerned that Pollard hasn't shown that pop or that be able to release from that first contact. I'm a little concerned about it. That, to me, is maybe what's causing some of these trouble in the red zone, but they'll get it figured out. I loved the Prestige Worldwide rumor mill for us this morning with Kyle Pitts. I think that'd be an interesting because that is Schultz is not there. They're missing that tight end, and so that's an interesting observation. That could be a deal.
They were to add to your trap game a little bit. I mean, they were also missing, and I didn't realize this until Sunday. I'm watching one of the countdown shows. And the bottom line flashes. And I believe Tyron Smith was out. Zach Martin was out. And Travis Steele, I think, might have been out. Two Hall of Famers, maybe. And then one, Pro Bowler. I mean, that's offensive linemen in general is going to be tough. Losing three very good offensive linemen.
I would love if the Broncos had that excuse.
I do think that the Cardinals are a little more frisky than we originally gave them.
How much of a factor do you think missing Diggs was? Like scheming to try to cover an island usually. You don't have to worry about Diggs. Now you have to scheme a little bit different. Do you think that made a difference in the run game?
Maybe a little. Because I think it moved around the nickel corner who's typically there, and the nickel corner kept getting lost, getting sucked in, and they would hit outside a little. Yeah. I think it made more of a little bit of a distraction where like ever since that, they just, instead of worrying about the Cardinals, they were just like almost bummed out, you know, going, dang, we just lost not just a piece of our defense, but a huge piece.
So I think what I'm hearing
then there was no focus on the Cardinals the 3 days ahead of it.
From both of y'all,
it's still an NFL team.
I'm hearing like maybe this is like a more emotional loss than like an X's and O's loss, even though there were a lot of players missing for the Cowboys and they could make a couple of moves to get better, but they're still a great team is kind of what I'm hearing. And I think I agree with that.
As long as those linemen are back, that's good. If those were short term, I hadn't seen that all three of them were out still. But Diggs is tough, and it against Philadelphia is he's going to be. It's a really tough loss for us. But against, I think they just forgot about Rondale Moore, and it's like, oh, I didn't know you could hand the ball off to that guy. And next thing you know, that happens, and then they have a couple of miscues. They pull a Washington Commander and decide they can't. They got to throw the football to the other color.
Dobbs averaged 9 yards a carry. I think they forgot that. I mean, if you don't account for him at all, he gets on the outside, he's going to pop you for a 20-yard run.
Yeah. And guess what? James Conner can still run a football. I mean, you're right, Kevin. I think it's something we might want to consider that Arizona's may not be that bad.
I don't think they're good by any – I'm not saying like they're a playoff team. I just think before the year we were going Arizona's first overall pick and all your survivor leagues, just whoever's playing Arizona, take them. And I know they blew the game against the Giants, but even in that game – Connor looked good. Dobbs looked adequate. You know, Rondale Moore, like, they just look like they're not the bottom of the barrel maybe we thought they were. They're still not great. I think they win maybe five games, but at most. But the Cowboys got things to improve. I think they will, but there is some concern. I'm not as worried about the run game that you are, Tony. I'm more the inside the 20 Dak decision. Because actually, he's in his career, he's been really good. I think he has, like, the last 3 years, he has the highest QBR inside the red zone. This year, he ranks in the bottom three. So, and it's three-game sample size, so it might just be got to figure a few things out. But there's something not clicking, and they got to figure that out.
Yeah. One good thing I saw, Dak did have a 20-something yard run?
Yeah.
Something like that. And he did it successfully without breaking or tearing anything. And I think that he'll take some confidence from that. And maybe do a little more of that and be confident to do that, and they'll let him do it. That makes the offense a lot more effective.
Yeah.
They've just got to be able to do that.
And we're not, and I want him to slide when he runs and stuff, but just him at least scaring teams with his legs, because he did that when he was younger. He would at least, and just the fear of going, this guy can pull it, makes that guy, that end pause a little longer, and then Pollard's got a little burst and he can go. So I agree. I like seeing him using his legs a little bit, because it felt like ever since that bad injury, he was hesitant, rightfully so. I'd be hesitant too after I saw my bone pop out of my leg. I would not want to run a ton.
It's a good point.
Sticking in the NFC East, on Monday night, we saw the Eagles move to 3-0. They haven't done it just super impressively. They have some struggles with the offense a little bit, but 3-0 is 3-0, Tony. What do you think about the Eagles? Are they still the cream of the crop there in the NFC or up there with it?
To me, absolutely. And I said that last week. I really think they're one of the best teams. And I almost as impressive as 70 points is to be able to take the ball and move it for 9 minutes and 22 seconds and close the game out to say, okay, thank you very much. We're done here. And just to drive the ball for 9 minutes and 22 seconds until time expires. I don't think there's anything uglier you can do to a team than that. You want the ball? You can't have it.
Especially, I'm looking at 15 plays, 68 yards, 9 minutes and 22 seconds. Right after the Bucs get a touchdown with, let's see, how much time was left? When they 9:22, they get a touchdown and make it a 14-point game. So they're going, we get a stop, you know, maybe. And the Eagles just go, the game's actually over. I know it says 9 minutes on the clock. But you're done.
We've already got the buses running. Don't worry about it.
Nuts. That is really rare. That's amazing.
I was a little nervous when they did the trade because I thought, dang, DeAndre Swift is really talented, and they didn't give up a whole lot. And man, Tony, he looks really good behind that offensive line.
We're good. And they've got two other guys too. I mean, they did what they wanted.
Gainwell's not bad at all. And then we haven't even really seen Penny, who I bet has a game later this year. We're like, oh, Rashad Penny's also super talented.
Yeah. Well, Gainwell was out week two. Yeah. We saw Penny get a few games. Yeah, that's what they're ready. If somebody goes down, next man up, we got two backs ready to go. And Boston Scott was inactive this week. And so they look really good.
It bothers me even more because I don't like seeing the Eagles, just things going right for the Eagles. As a Cowboys fan, it's just not something I enjoy seeing.
Yeah, hate to see it.
It's like LJ watching the Chiefs and Raiders, like if something good happens for him, it just, there's part of you, I'm not like, I don't hate them, but I'm just kind of like, I'd rather that not happen for them, you know? And Jalen Carter dropping to 9. Jalen Carter looks amazing. Like that rookie already looks like up there with, like, I mean, he's not like an Aaron Donald class yet, but he looks like one of those game, those defensive tackles, those Chris Jones types that just changes the game. And he had the just rushing the passer. He's great. He stuffs on the run. And then he had the play on Monday night where they block, they like double team. And so he realized, oh, I'm not getting to the quarterback. So he kind of takes a step back. They throw it to Rashad White. And then he comes from behind, runs down the running back, and just smacks Rashad White, forces a fumble. And then they got the Jordan Davis kid. They're just loaded on defense. I think Jalen Hurts looks a little off. Something looks a little weird with him. But everything else seems to be rolling with that team. And I trust Jalen Hurts because I just think he's a – I don't think he's like a Mahomes-type quarterback, but he's a dependable guy, and he's a good leader. So I'd be worried about the Eagles. I still think the 49ers are the class of the NFC right now. But the Eagles are fine. They are right where they want to be. They're 3-0 and they hadn't even played their best football yet. So,
I got a question just popped into my head. As a Cowboys fan, who is your Chargers? Like, so I hate the Raiders. I strongly dislike the Chiefs. And then, like, the Chargers, like, unless they beat the Broncos, I kind of like them. Like, they're kind of fun. Like, they've got good uniforms.
So,
like,
does this need to be inside the division?
Yeah. I'm asking as a Cowboys fan, who are of the three that you play twice a year? Are you okay with seeing, like, win a Super Bowl every now and again? Or?
So, well, I don't want to see any of them win a Super Bowl. This is going to seem sacrilegious maybe to Tony or any older Cowboy fan, but it'd probably be Washington because they've been just so irrelevant
for my entire... Right, I think, like, that's part of why the Chargers are like mine is, like, they've really, like, they've spent most of their career having LaDainian Tomlinson and losing. Like, you kind of, like, get a soft spot for them.
Like, I don't necessarily just... hate the Giants. Well, I kind of did because I don't think Eli Manning's that good and he won two Super Bowls. And then, like, they beat the Cowboys when the Cowboys were great in 2007. And then Eli Manning just comes in there and wins
with
the
his
game
dumb face. Yeah.
And he gets two Super Bowls. I'm like, this guy is like, I truly, and I know I'm a homer, Tony Romo is a better quarterback than Eli Manning. Eli Manning has two
Eli
Super
Manning
Bowls,
beat against, probably the best football team to have ever played in our lifetime. So
it can't be the Giants because I'm just so, that's so annoying to me that they
and the Eagles.
They had two
I know
years
how
they just got
the
hot.
Eagles. The Eagles are probably your
and
Raiders,
then the Eagles.
Right?
Yeah, the Eagles are my Raiders. And if interestingly, and I think actually Pops would say this too if he was here, I really do like Jalen Hurts. If Jalen Hurts was on any other team, I'd be like, I'm kind of a Jalen Hurts guy. Because he's on the Eagles, I'm like, can't root for you. I cannot
sorry,
do it.
Bud.
Yeah. So they'd be my Raiders. And it's because the Eagles have been good pretty much the entire time I've been watching. They've been a solid team. And there's a little bit of that rivalry, I feel like, between them. Tony, you probably can't get behind the Commanders are fine. I don't mind Washington. You probably hate them.
I hate
Washington.
Yeah. So is there anybody that you hate least of the trio?
You know, I of the trio,
didn't like any of them.
Yeah, this is a struggle.
Probably the Eagles because the Eagles haven't been relevant until recently.
So this is old head versus young head sort of thing.
Yeah. And the Giants, that's a good analogy though, LJ. I think I would probably say, you know, the Broncos having their rivalries, but. Well, I was going to say the one I don't mind, and this takes it back, is the Cardinals, because the St. Louis Cardinals were in their division when it was 5-team division.
Oh, sure, and I don't mind the Seahawks, but yeah.
yeah, I don't mind the Cardinals because everybody beat the crap out of them, and it was fine. And so, but no, I'd have to say for me, it's the Eagles. I don't mind them.
Interesting.
but really, if you could see them all three lose every single week,
yeah,
it'd be fine.
It'd be fine.
Any other games that just some thoughts you had, Tony, that you wanted to kind of rattle off here as we kind of round out the week?
You know, it was an interesting weekend, and I want to talk about that Philly 9 minutes. I thought that was just phenomenal, but I think the Colts rallying to beat the Ravens was pretty big, and once again, the man comes to play. And so I thought that the Colts winning that was a really
that was a gutty win, you know,
really big deal. Yeah, big and I hope it doesn't happen, but you're already hearing the mustache calls for maybe we need to let Richardson, you know, learn a little more. Let's let the mustache get out there. But
Richardson's been good. The only knock on Richardson has been the hits he's taken. He's been a good quarterback.
I really like that. I was surprised. Yeah, I thought the Colts played well. That was a surprise to me. I think, you know, other than that, though, we've already talked about.
You know, you mentioned Richardson and just on rookie quarterbacks. I've been very impressed with C.J. Stroud with the Texans. Mm-hmm. He's been.
He is.
He looks. He plays kind of like a veteran. And probably coming into the draft, he was one of the ones I was like, eh, I don't know. Like, I like Bryce Young. Yeah. I like Richardson. I liked a lot of them. And C.J. Stroud was like, I just don't know. And he's really impressed me with a group that's not. I mean, Tank Dell is playing well, but it's not like he's some huge name out there. Like, he's doing it with some.
Yeah. So is the idea of sitting a rookie quarterback behind like a veteran journeyman, is that dead now? Do you start your rookie quarterback if you pick him high enough, like always?
Maybe, but I mean, Jordan Love looks good and he sat for a little.
Right, so I kind of know. I don't. It seems like the thing is now, like if your quarterback isn't starting by like week four, then you've made a bad draft pick. And that seems insane to me.
I think, yes, it really depends on the coach and the system to me, because I truly am worried that I think Justin Fields is not a bad quarterback. I think he's broken now, though, because I think they brought him into a team that he wasn't ready for. And now, even when he has time, he doesn't feel like he has time because he's just so nervous. I think you can break a quarterback, but you're seeing with like Anthony Richardson at the Colts, I think Shane Steichen is a good offensive mind. This Texans offensive coordinator is Canales, is the same guy who kind of helped Geno Smith revive his career. So I think he's kind of a quarterback friendly coach. If you have the right coaching system, I think reps is always better. But reps aren't all like, if you're just getting your guy
good reps is killed, better. Good reps is better.
Yes. Yeah. If you're just getting your guy killed, I do think you can break a quarterback that has potential.
But isn't that kind of the thing, though, is everybody that gets these high level quarterbacks out of the draft, they're almost always terrible football teams, right? So like generally, I would say the move should be sit your guy for almost a year at least.
I think so, unless you can come up. That's the thing with these. It seems these new offensive coaches are more quarterback friendly than before. I think like you watch those.
Well, in the league is Dolphins more quarterback games. Friendly than before, too, which is another point, too. Yeah.
But you like watch those Dolphins games, the way they motion and stuff. Tua seems like, and at times Tua is making great throws. I'm not trying to knock away what Tua is doing, because sometimes he's making these really accurate deep throws. But sometimes Tua is just making these a guy wide open in the flats, a stick route wide open. They make it very, very easy on him. And it's why it gets so annoying when you watch the Cowboys sometimes, because I'm watching some of these other teams and like what the Bengals did on Monday night with Jamar Chase. They're moving him around and they're making sure he touches the ball 15 times. Same way that the Dolphins do with Tyreek Hill, what Sean McVay does with just insert wide receiver, I guess. It can be Puka Nacua or Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
These coaches make it more friendly, whereas I don't know why you're not motioning every single time. Now, after what I watch in the NFL, I feel like you should always have a guy. What the Vikings do with Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
I just think there's ways these coaches scheme up things that make it better. So I don't know if there's a right or wrong on sitting. What do you think, Tony, about sitting quarterbacks or playing them?
I now think there's not a right or a wrong. I think it also depends on how old the quarterback is football-wise. Because if you're drafting a guy like Anthony Richardson, football wise is pretty young. I mean, he just hasn't played that much. I can't remember is he 20 or 21?
21.
I can't remember how. He's 21. He's young and he's really young. So he would have been one I thought you would want to sit. But he's just so physically talented. It makes basically with his legs that, you know, you've got to play him. I think, I really think that Bryce Young should be sitting. I think that Justin Fields should have gotten a chance to sit again. I think you'll see in that. And although I think it's funny the way you say it, you're right, Kevin. I think you're breaking these quarterbacks. So, you know, it's just, it's kind of like a horse. He's been broke wrong. He's not going to be any good.
I think
so.
Part of the hard part about that too, is like, you really can't go back on Justin Fields. Like if you let him start too early, you let him start too early.
That's Once you start him, it's kind of hard to bench him, you know, cause then
And so, Justin Fields should probably send money to Geno Smith, because Geno Smith he's the poster child for, hey, give these quarterbacks another chance. Cause it took him 8-9 years and same thing happened to him that's happening to Justin Fields now, is the Jets thought he was the second coming and it just didn't happen. But now he's doing pretty good. So be interesting to see if that continues to happen.
What was that? I was about to, you had me thinking. I think it also, LJ, something that goes into it and it's something only the coaches can know. Are they kind of grasping the speed of things, like in the film room? Are they? Because like the NFL, just from what everyone says, it just moves a tick. Like once you go from college to NFL, it just moves that much faster. And like a Zach Wilson, I just don't think his first year and a half, it was moving too fast for him. And then I think he got the yips. Now I think he's truly got the yips, and he's so worried about making the mistake, he's not just playing within the offense. If you're the coach and Anthony Richardson seems to be picking it up, or CJ Stroud, all right, well then they're good. I just think it can be a very much of a yips thing where all of a sudden now Justin Fields playing seems like he plays not to make. He's like, I don't want to fumble, I don't want to throw the pick, I don't want to get sacked, and now he's playing more tense instead of just playing.
But then back to that, like once you've made that decision, you can't unmake it, sort of thing. My understanding, based on watching all these like in season or Hard Knocks type shows, is the speed between practice / preseason and that 1% faster that you get in a regular season football game is a world of difference, it seems like, to these players. And so like they might seem like they're getting it at practice, but like, man, if they don't get it in a game and you have like four games in a row of that, like I think that's what we're talking about.
It's a dangerous game to play, because if you do start the rookie, like if you start Anthony Richardson the first 4 weeks and then he has a tough, or let's go Bryce Young, because he has struggled out the gates. Mm. You start him the first 4 weeks and then you bring him to the bench. As much as you can say the right things and he can say the right things,
it's going
to
hurt.
You did just get bent. There's a human aspect to it where you're like, dang, I failed.
Yeah.
Like and most of these guys, especially if they're drafted really early, hadn't failed a whole lot. You know, they've had a really successful. So that's the first time they got to come. Right. And it's just a mental thing of coming to grips like, oh, for the first time in my life, like I might not be able to do this. And you almost got to psychologically talk them back into, no, you're good. You just need to sit.
Yeah, we just need two more weeks. Yeah. Or 6 more weeks or whatever. Yeah. It's tough. That's tough. That's a tough position.
The Jets keep saying they're not moving on from Zach Wilson. Even they're still saying they're not moving on from him. And I just don't understand how you don't. They're bringing in Trevor Siemian, LJ. So.
Yeah, well, and you know, Northwestern hero. Like,
there you go. Yeah, Zach Wilson doesn't work out. Who should we get? Hey, there's a Siemian guy I really like.
You could always go with a former Bronco quarterback. They've been great for the past decade and a half. So,
with the Vikings losing again, should they pick up the call for Kirk Cousins, or it's too early?
I think they should. If they want to do anything in the AFC East, they're going to start losing their chance. Because if the Dolphins beat the Bills this weekend, which I don't think they will, they're 4-0, and the Jets aren't going to catch them if they lose again. So they are getting close to a must win situations, and you don't want to be there 5-6 games in. So.
Bring Kirk Cousins in, it's not like going to be a win week one necessarily. Like it's going to take a second to get adjusted to the playbook and and not having Justin Jefferson.
It's that time of the episode now where we try to make some money. I was going back to see how we did in our parlay.
You can ignore mine. Yeah.
The Titans most certainly did not win on the money line. That is confirmed. Okay. The Seahawks did cover. Commanders did not cover +6.5 against the Bills.
What was my other thing was the Giants would cover? That wasn't a thing either. So I did great last week. Keep that in mind, listeners.
Almost as good as a movie.
But that's okay. That's all right. That week is behind us. We go to a new week. This one's just going to be a three-teamer because we don't have Pops with us. But let's try to find some winners for people. Tony, do you have one off the top or –
This is a really tough week. I was looking through it, and there are some strange lines compared to what happened last weekend. But I will say that I want to say I'll leave the Eagles for somebody else. But in a game that everybody's going to watch, I really like the Bills -2.5. Mm-hmm. I think they beat the Dolphins by 3 or more. Big game for the Dolphins coming in off of that high. I think it's going to be tough. A lot of noise going on, and that's at Buffalo. And I think Buffalo wants to go to 2-2 and Dolphins 4-0. I don't think they're that much better going on the road. I like the Bills -2.5 is what I see.
All right. LJ, what you got?
So I'm going to take Baltimore over Cleveland +2.5. I feel like I trust Baltimore more. I just, Cleveland is kind of messy and weird. Baltimore has been a problem, but I don't know. They've lost close games, I think. I just trust Baltimore a bit more to win that game. So +2.5, I'll take those points.
Yeah. LJ, tell me if I could be just trudging into just ridiculous waters, even trying to, because I don't know if anyone wants to watch this game.
Yeah, I don't.
But I'm thinking Broncos -3.5 against the Bears.
It's hard to say. The Broncos are going to need, we'll know the first quarter whether the Broncos, I think the Broncos could either destroy the Bears or lose by 9 points. And there's really not an in between, I don't think. And I don't think we'll know until about halfway through the first quarter. So, I mean, you might shoot for it because I do think there's a good shot at it. They are, I think, a better football team than the Bears. They just got beat by maybe the best football team in the NFL right now.
But that's a tough one. I'll stay away from it just because I don't want to make the viewer.
You don't want to watch that game.
I don't want the listeners to bet it and then feel like they need to watch that game.
Yeah, nobody's watching that game.
We'll go to, I think we get a bounce back in the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys, they're -7, I believe. Mm-hmm. To the Patriots, I don't think the Patriots are very good. They have a decent defense, but I just don't trust Mac.
I'm saying -6.5 here. So, that would
be -7.
Okay. So I'm looking at that's +603 for us. $10 wins 70, and we fix what we did last week. We fix
right
it all.
Back.
There
so
you go.
Right back in it.
We're right back on
right
top.
Back on it. Hey,
go ahead, Tom.
For Sunday games, this is the one I think is interesting. The biggest game of the week, maybe. The one that's in London, Falcons and Jaguars. The Jaguars are 1-2 and are ugly doing it. The Falcons just took their first loss. If the Falcons beat the Jaguars, I think we got a little problem down in Jacksonville.
That's a good point.
Jacksonville is an interesting game. The good thing for them is the AFC South is so bad, I think you could win that division with 7 wins. But they are a team, they kind of got hot towards the end of last year. They won that playoff game. They played a tough game with the Chiefs. And it kind of felt like this was the jump year. Like, could Trevor Lawrence almost be MVP level? Calvin Ridley, And it's kind of been rocky to start. Things have been a little ugly. And then I thought maybe the Chiefs loss, I was like, that happened. Chiefs are really good. I mean, you don't hate losing to the Chiefs. But that Texans loss, they didn't just get beat by the Texans. They kind of got thumped. So
Yeah.
That's a tough one. So I'm with you. That's going to be a nice one, coffee or Bloody Mary, whatever tickles your fancy to watch that in the morning on Sunday to get things started early. Don't forget on your fantasy lineups.
Set it early.
Game early this week, so get your stuff ready. The good news, this week, just one Monday Night Football.
Thank God.
I don't know why we decided to do oftentimes that first Monday Night Football game, they'll do two. And this year, we were doing two football games on both the second and third week. And
brutal.
I thought maybe I was just getting old, and maybe we're all old because I think we all agree. Like, I don't like the two Monday night games.
It just
games.
Feels stupid. Well, I have two primetime games. Like, I get Sunday afternoon. Like, that's the time to have all the games going. But, it's like they watched March Madness and was like, oh, week one, that's when all the fun is. But, that has nothing to do with Monday Night Football. That's a totally different ball game. Give us one game at a time, damn it.
On Sunday, I'm all ready for the I'm watching because Red Zone. I might even have another game pulled up here. Like, I'm ready to multitask.
I told everybody, don't bother me today, but it's kind of hard Monday afternoon after all day Sunday to say, also, don't bother me this evening,
Well, on Monday afternoon, I don't want my brain, our brain works at a little higher capacity, I think, when we're like, okay, I'm keeping up with the time in this Broncos game. Also, the Cowboys, if they have 3 timeouts left, or if we stop them, you're doing a lot of calculations. Mm-hmm. On Monday, I just worked on a Monday. I want to come home and just kind of relax, watch one game, just chill. I don't want to go, oh shit, the other game. Right. Let me turn that one on now and let me get both my screens.
You
want
to be able to order wings during a commercial break, but if there's two games, there's no commercial breaks. So, they're destroying the economy, is what they're doing.
And I think LJ makes the biggest point. Monday Night Football is supposed to be a big stage. You're the only team playing that day. You're getting the prime time, and now we're doing two games. No, let's skip ESPN or ABC. I know y'all. I wonder, LJ, you think maybe this had something to do with the writer strike?
Oh, that's an interesting point I hadn't considered.
Because they already, they can put a different game on ABC and a different game on ESPN and have two different live.
Now we got to go back. Stats will get on this for next week because that's an interesting idea. We got to go back and figure out when they made the decision to have two games on Monday night because that would make sense that they're trying to kill airtime.
And then Conspiracy Kevin here. the writer's strike ended, and now all of a sudden we got one game. It's like the schedule worked out perfectly. Did Roger Goodell, is he pulling strings?
Yeah, I want to know when these decisions were made. That's interesting. That is interesting.
Come on, man. The bye week starts next week. Come on, man. You got your, you got the London game.
You're telling me, what you're telling me the problem is that they had too many games, so they had to do two on Mondays. That's not the problem.
Yes, I think that's the contract they worked out. They couldn't do any more. They didn't. Well, I will say this. I think it's because. Okay, here's what I think it is, and I think it's the Sunday afternoon games. There were only three this weekend, and they had the big 3 o'clock games lined up, and I wanted the national audience on those games. And I think that's why they said, well, we want a fourth Sunday game against these three, push it to Monday night. And so that's what I think.
That's an interesting idea too. I like that.
But yeah, normally there's 4 3 o'clock games and there was only three this weekend.
But I mean, which game do you think they wouldn't one of their primetime games, Eagles Buccaneers or Rams Bengals? Both of those beginning of the season would be like, let's take either of these games.
I think it was the Eagles Buccaneers.
You're saying that's something Tampa, they didn't expect much of? Yeah. Oh, no, Tom Brady, of course. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right. That makes sense.
When the schedules were set.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to look into this writer strike thing, too, though. Both of these theories are really interesting to me.
The schedule quirks, another interesting thing. I don't know if y'all have noticed, but we did mention the Jaguars are playing in London or whatever.
Home game.
They're playing back-to-back games. They're going to be in London for 2 weeks. Next week, they're also in London.
That's
they
right.
play the Bills.
Right.
It's just an interesting, like, they could, by the time they get back stateside, they could be 1-4 and their season could be in,
should be 1-4
in barrel.
And talking funny. Boy, mate, what's up, man?
They're like, where's my tea? What are we doing?
Tea.
All right. Well, I think that gets us. Before we go, though, Uncle Tony, what you drinking on tonight on a Wednesday night?
On a Wednesday night. So I made something. I've been making this drink now for 2 or 3 weeks, trying it out.
For the listener out there, it looks like a classy drink.
Does,
I don't know what's in it.
It's the glass.
So it's in a highball glass, but it's it is two parts bourbon and a half a part of Mr. Black coffee liqueur. And you might be thinking, geez, but it's not Kahlua because Kahlua is sweet, but Mr. Black's a little more bitter. This thing tastes just like a real Irish coffee, like a coffee with Irish whiskey in it, except there's no coffee. It's coffee liqueur. And so Mr. Black's is a really good coffee liqueur. If you guys can find it out there, get it. It's awesome. But it's just two parts and a half part. It's really good. Really good.
And you know, it's 8 o'clock right now as we're recording. Yeah. So this isn't going to keep you up.
Absolutely not.
Okay. All right. There you go. We learn something new from Uncle Tony all the time. I tell you what. All right. That will do it for this week's pod. We'll be back next week to break down another one. Hopefully a Cowboys win and the Broncos don't give up 70.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be a win for, if they give up 70 to the Bears, then I'm not back on next week. I'm just out.
Then you might need to just,
done and done.
I already don't know that I like football anymore. So.
All right, y'all. I'll catch y'all next week. Peace out.
Peace.
All right. That
was a good one.
Yeah.
That worked out well.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited. The games are really weird. I like Philly -8. I also like the Cardinals getting +14 against the Rams. I mean, against the 49ers. It's at San Francisco, so they're really good. But Arizona, like I said, Kevin, I don't know that they're that bad.
Vikings get right against Carolina, too, right? Like, -4. They probably beat them by more than 4.
I don't know.
I didn't want to put money on it. Yeah.
Yeah. I also like the Bengals as 2.5-point favorites at Tennessee, as bad as Tennessee played this week.
Yes.
Now, that Tennessee will be able to run the football, and so that's why I stayed away from that Baltimore-Cleveland game. Cleveland's defense against the run is just phenomenal. And Baltimore's going to run the football.
But we'll make sure, if we're all still recording, we'll add this to the end so the listener knows. Just do not listen to LJ.
No, don't listen to Uncle Tony, because, man, my betting.
Yeah, we've been doing great. We've been doing great so far, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, it just feels like,
yeah, I know Baltimore, Gus Edwards hurt his foot a little bit. And did Justice Hill get hurt as well? Okay. Should be back this week. Yeah, because there was a Melvin Gordon sighting. Another former Bronco out there for you, LJ.
Oh, yeah, plenty of them, yeah. Former Broncos do great. Broncos don't.
There you go.
I'm going to roll out, boys. I'll get y'all later.
All right. See ya. I put in a few. I tried to get Josh Palmer and then take the car, but it was low numbers. I haven't even looked. Yeah.
Go before you die. Thank you.